This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! December 3000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal Nation. Welcome to our Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. Let me welcome in my cohort in crime, Steve-O. What's going on, bud?
Well, real world reality is setting in the first weekend, huh?
Man, I didn't even get a chance to bring it up. I mean, it's amazing. We received tweets and messages and things. Help, help. We need an emergency episode. And my answer to everybody was, he's going to be on the DL 2 days from now, no differently than he is today. We can talk about it Thursday, because really at the end of the day, everybody's upset, and everybody knows we're obviously talking about Alex Reyes. But the reality of it is, now it's next man up, okay? And I know everybody wants to hear from Benji on this. He's been through these things. He's a pro's pro, so he knows. But I guarantee he's going to say the same thing that I'm telling you right now. And we will hear from Benji here shortly. He is in Puerto Rico. Going to meet his brother down there. I guess they're going to let Yadi go down there for a day. He has a minor league club down there, and they're having a grand opening type thing. So he is on assignment. We'll call him on assignment. How about that? But we are going to hear from him here shortly. Before we do that, though, obviously we are going to break down where we think we go from here now with Alex Reyes being gone. You know, I think there's a handful of ways you could go. I think spring training now really does become an open competition for a couple of spots, which I think is great. I love competition. So I'm real interested to talk about that today and get your thoughts. Fish is back at the steel mill today. Good for him. Got to work. But without having all the guys back, it's hard for him to trade and be here. So my assumption is he'll be with us next week when he's on the other turn. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody to make sure they go to twobirdsonabat.com. That is our website. It's where we house the podcast. It's where you can catch up on back episodes. Of course, it's also the easiest way to subscribe to the show. If you get on your computer, twobirdsonabat.com, you're going to see the show come up, and to the right, you'll see subscribe to the podcast. You just click right there. If you're on your mobile device and you put in twobirdsonabat.com, you'll just scroll down. You'll see it right there, subscribe to the podcast. Easiest way to do it. It'll take you to the page. Check your mobile provider. Boom, done, easy. Easiest thing to do. We love Twitter. It's a great way for us to communicate with fans. People tend to, as evidenced by the Reyes injury and the reactions, people tend to let it fly on Twitter in 140 characters or less, at Birds on a Bat Shows, where you'll find us there. You can do a little more typing, a little more sharing on Facebook, a little more time and effort there. Just go to Facebook. You'll find us at Two Birds on a Bat Show. Really in love. Just the engagement with you guys is nothing short of fantastic, and we do appreciate it. You can email us as well, info@twobirdsonabat.com is how you can do that. And we do come from you from the lineupmedia.fm studios. I encourage everybody to go to lineupmedia.fm. Before we get to this first segment, I do want to remind everybody that the show is brought to you each and every week by this man to my right, Steve Flowers with Supreme Lending. Steve, tell us a little bit about Supreme Lending, what you guys are doing right now.
You know what? Mortgage loan banking system. Basically, so if you're out there looking for a mortgage, if you're out there looking for a refinance or to purchase a home loan or purchase a home, we do the lending on it. So we do everything from your regular Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, your conventional type loans, FHA, VA for our veterans out there, USDA for those people that live in the outlying areas that qualify for the rural housing loan. A lot of first-time homebuyer loan programs out there. A lot of grant money they're giving away. It's the start of the season, start of the year, so everybody's filled up with money to give away for those first-time homebuyers. Rates are still good. I know they've popped up a little bit. We're expecting a couple rate hikes through the year still, so we're expecting rates to continue to climb through the year. But if you haven't quite refinanced or you need something, homes values have taken off. So if you're looking to cash out some of that equity, give us a buzz. Or if you're looking to buy that home, whether you're moving up or first-time home buyer, give us a call, Supreme Lending.
Well, and the other thing, too, is we're moving into home buying season, so people are going to be buying homes, right?
Absolutely.
So you also, capitalizing on that, and some of you guys out there have taken advantage of this, Steve-O is going to give away two tickets to the Cardinals opening day, Cards-Cubs. All right? A lot of you guys might have questions about where you're at in your home business right now, whether it be a refi or buying. All you have to do is call this guy.
That's it.
And just get qualified. That's all you have to do, and you're qualified for the two tickets, and they do that by calling?
618-655-0483. And that's our office number, so 618-655-0483, best way to catch us. And it's simple. It takes about 5 minutes. We can go through what you're doing, what you're trying to accomplish, point A to point B, and find a good solution for you.
Well, and again, I think the best part, and I hate to say this, I'm not saying that mortgage loaning isn't fun, but the best part is you're qualified. All they got to do is give you the information and let you qualify them and tell you where they'd be, give them some options, and they're qualified for the two tickets to the Cardinals home opener. Sunday night baseball, Cards Cubs, can't miss it. Speaking of people that bring you the show, m4byyachty.com each and every week brings you our own two-time Gold Glove winner, World Series champion, Benji Molina. We're going to get him on the m4byyachty.com hotline all the way from Puerto Rico. Our good friend and yours, Benji Molina, again coming to you from the m4byyachty.com hotline. And he, if I'm not mistaken, if the reports are true, he may be with his brother as we speak. What's going on, Benji?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Happy to be back, huh?
Yeah, all the way from Puerto Rico. It looks like cat's out of the bag. There's some articles and some papers coming out that your brother is being honored in your guys' hometown of Puerto Rico, some stuff he's got going on there. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about it, because I'm sure they're kind of wondering what's going on.
Yeah, there's nothing bad going on. He just my dad used to play in this amateur league here, which he is a Hall of Famer for the league, for being a good player and everything. Well, he bought the hometown team for us, like the Dorado.
Right.
He bought it. So, today is the opening day of the season, but we go away. We don't play at home. So, today he has to be there just to show his face because he's the owner of the other team in the opening league, and he's obviously the first game ever as an owner.
Right.
So that's why he's going to be there. And then tomorrow we have a big opening in our hometown of Dorado, and that's going to be huge. But that's what he's doing there. He told me that he might be already there by Sunday morning workout.
Yeah.
He's going to be back in spring. So he's just going to miss Saturday.
Yeah. No.
So he went to practice today and –
yeah, the article in the paper says, you know, he's obviously earned the right to go, and he's obviously a veteran and knows what he needs to do to get his work in. So I know that's not an issue. I'm sure though, with some of the injuries they've had so far in camp already, that when people show up and they don't see Yachty, they might get a little nervous. But all is well in Yachty world, and it's a great honor for him and for your family. You got to be so proud, obviously, with your dad being such a big part of your lives and. Him getting the respect.
Yeah, not only that.
Yeah.
Yeah, not only that, but they're dedicating the whole season. His first year as an owner, he's dedicating the whole season to my dad.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's why I'm here, and that's why my mom is here. We try to get Hosey over here, but we couldn't do it. But that's why we're supposed to do this, you know, because he's dedicated to my dad. That's the main reason why you have to be here.
Yeah, no, it's really good stuff. I'm excited about it. Well, lots going on in Cardinals camp since we chatted last. Obviously, the big news is, you know, we've lost Alex Reyes for the season, which is a big blow to the team. I do know that as a player, My guess would be is while you're not going to have the guy as a player, you kind of have to take that mentality, I would assume, as, okay, he's out, who's in? There's really not much else you can do, is there?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you can put it in better words because it's so true. We're not saying how Rodgers is not going to be missed. He's going to be missed deeply into the rotation or bullpen or whatever you want to put him. Yes, he's going to be missed. But you got to concentrate on the mission ahead. When that mission is win the World Series, when Wainwright went down, I don't know if you remember that, but or you guys remember, but he went down high in spring training. That was a big blow. And what happened? They won the World Series.
Yeah.
So when the young guy goes down like this, it's up to the players to pick him up and say, you know what, man, we're gonna fight. You get better. You're gonna be all right. You get better, please, and next year we'll have you. Like Lance Lynn last year, you know, we'll fight for you guys. And this year, Lynn is ready to go. So those are freaky things that happen. Obviously, you don't want to happen to your team. But as far as I know, the Cardinals, they've been dealing with that for so long, too.
Yeah, that's kind of what, you know, as we learn more about these sort of things, I know when an injury like this happens, people start thinking, my goodness, you know, he's at spring training one day and he's already hurt. Injuries like this typically aren't a traumatic event. This is something that pitching and throwing a baseball is an unnatural act. These guys put such force on their bodies. It's almost become, we were talking about it as fans, it's almost become not an if, but almost a when for this surgery.
Yeah, and not many times you get this Tommy John because you did something wrong or you've been throwing so many innings. A lot of times you just did it because you had a soreness on that ligament, and that ligament is gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it just seems like, you know, I'm not going to say it's become commonplace, but, you know, some of the best pitchers in the game have went through this, and there's, you know, no way that we're ever going to say it's okay. I mean, you know, you never want to have surgery and there's never any guarantees. But the reality of it is, as we said at the beginning, we're not in the business of sitting around and boo-hooing about it. The Cardinals have some good pitchers that we're going to hopefully be able to weather this storm with this year. And this is going to give an opportunity to a couple of guys, most notably, they've had the Trevor Rosenthal thing going on in the back of everybody's minds about him possibly being a starter. Well, it looks like he's going to get an opportunity.
And Weaver, they got a few young guys that are really up their list. And like you said, they're going to have a chance to show what they have. And, you know, like, we don't want to go through it. We don't want to do it this way as an organization. But, hey, those injuries happen. And all of a sudden, the perfect example is in football, American football, NFL. When Bledsoe went down, here comes this sixth-round guy, which nobody even expected anything out of him. And here we go. He's a Hall of Famer, the best quarterback in the league, or whatever you want to call him. But see what happens. He took the opportunity. So this could be a big, huge opportunity, like you said, for many pitchers, many of the young guys to step up. Maybe this is the way the Rosenthal goes in and settle himself as a good starter, you know? So we'll see what happens, but you don't want to go through it like this. But sometimes you have to. You have to deal with it.
Yeah, you know, I would say that baseball, you know, there's some great stories out there. Lou Gehrig and Wally Pipp are an obvious historic story. But baseball's littered with guys that got opportunities, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, because of injuries. Not all baseball careers end glowingly like you see in the movies. Sometimes guys just deal with injuries and eventually they can't do it anymore, or they don't even want to do it anymore. So guys get opportunities, and when they get those opportunities, they have to produce. You look now at Luke Weaver, you brought him up. Those innings he got last year at the big league level may prove to be very important innings as he comes into this season with a little bit more seasoning.
Yeah, you don't know what that guy's going to do. You don't know if he's going to be the next Greg Maddux. You don't know that. Anybody, as a fan, you don't know. We don't know. We know what, you know, that he's good. We know that, you know. But how about if a spring training comes in and he finds his groove, and all of a sudden he gets everybody out and he starts getting people out, and all of a sudden he opens eyes like, holy crap, man, this guy could be our guy. But we don't know that. That's why these opportunities are huge. These opportunities are 100%, could be 100% your chance, and you got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a tough thing when a guy gets hurt, but it always provides opportunity. Again, I say it all the time. You can look at your Cardinal staff. Adam Wainwright was a young pitcher at one time. Carlos Martinez was a young pitcher. All these guys, Clayton Kershaw at one time was a young pitcher. You never know for sure what these guys are going to do until they get a chance. Some guys are highly touted prospects and they pan out. Some guys are highly touted prospects and it takes them a long time. I don't know. I can't read the future. But what I do know is while I know that me and everybody in the room, you included, everybody in that clubhouse included, was probably looking forward to Alex Reyes being a part of this team. But you can't shut it down. You got to just move forward. And I'm confident still, by the things that we've talked about on the show, Adam Wainwright having a better season, Mike Leake having a better season, Carlos Martinez still escalating into that ace potential, Lance Lynn back from injury, the emergence of Luke Weaver, all these things, I still think we have the opportunity to have a better pitching staff this year.
Yes, yes, we have a great chance of that. And people can't forget that you have a really, really key guy behind the plate. You just don't have a rookie or you don't have a guy that's not able to handle the pitching stuff. You have a guy there that can guide him. You have a guy there that cares about winning, and he could be a lethal weapon. You saw what happened last year. We weren't far ahead. Far behind. I mean, obviously in games, yeah, we were, but we were right there just one game from going to the playoffs. And he, as everybody knows, the wild card, you get in, you don't know, you might win it. So we were that close to making it to the playoff, even though we had a few injuries. So what fans need to understand, they need to keep their head up. Now Reyes is gone. We can't do nothing about it. We wish him the best, the best, and hopefully he comes back quick. Obviously, he's a young guy. But also, we have other guys. We have other guys that can step up. We have a very fun bullpen. If we find a way to stay ahead of games, we have a great bullpen, man. I can tell you that. And it'll be exciting to see how many games we can win if we can find a way to stay ahead, you know. And remember, we didn't play our best at home. Think about if we would have played over 500 or better at home, what a difference it would have made.
Oh, so absolutely.
This year, they're always going to play better at home. Last year, I always like to call it a fluke. Hopefully, I'm not lying. But, hey, right now, I count every money on them because they're going to be fine. They're going to open up ice. They're going to be playing good at home, and they're going to do great. You watch.
Hey, something that I think Cardinal fans got to feel good about is, you know, your brother last year, you know, we had the thumb issue that I'm hoping you can tell us a little bit about where he's at with that. My hope would be is that it's a non-issue now. Secondly, you know, Yadi's went through a transformation with his body where he's gotten himself to where he's probably in the best shape of his life. When I saw him go through this, I thought to myself, here's a guy that realized that if he wanted to play into an older age, he needed to start taking a little bit better care of his body. Well, I was impressed with that, but what I've seen pictures from him from spring training, if it's possible, he looks like he's in even better shape than he was last year.
I think he is. People don't understand how when you make a dramatic change on your body, it's really hard. It's really tough on your body. And he was getting used to it at the beginning. Everybody saw that, you know, and he was kind of getting used to it. But then the second half, holy crap, he picked it up pretty good. And this is what we're going to see. I really, really believe so. I hope and pray to God to give him the help needed. The thumb issue, I think, is in the past for him. He's ready to go, man. I think, and I hope that he has one of his best years coming up, starting from the beginning, like years before. Because remember, he always starts hot. And last year, he's got it kind of hot, but he was dealing with some issues. But this year, he seems to be healthy, man. So let's hope and pray that everything worked out, right?
Yeah, no, he looked just like I said. When I saw him go through that transformation, I thought, man, he looks like he's in unbelievable shape. And then this year, the pictures I see from spring training, he looks even more like – he looks like he lost some weight, it looked like, and he got his body right. And now he looks like he's got the weight down, but he looks more even solid. So – I don't know. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. I hope it translates into a great season. I like the things I'm seeing. We talked about the pitching staff. You brought up the bullpen. Yadi looks healthy. And we touched on it a little bit on Monday, seeing those pictures of Oquendo working with those guys down there has got to make people feel a little bit better about the defense. You've brought it up. It's an issue that we needed to address. I don't know. It sounds to me like we have a great recipe here, Benji.
I think so. I really believe so. As a fan, as a true fan, we have to believe that because it's really true. They have a great group of guys. They're going to battle. They're going to fight for the city of St. Louis and for themselves as a team. They're gonna fight, and people need to understand that we need to have all the fans behind them at all time, and goods and bads. The real good fans are not the only ones that cheer when you hit a home run. Are those guys? The real fan is the one that cheer you on when you went 0-for-4, and you knew in your head that you had a tough day, but you have the fans cheering for you no matter what. Those are the real fans, you know.
For sure, and I can tell you.
And we have them. And we have them.
Yeah, and the truth is, I can tell you that, you know, I wish you were back home. No, it doesn't really matter, Puerto Rico, Arizona, doesn't really matter. I got to tell you, Benji, you like to make fun of us sometimes when it's 80 degrees there and it's 20 here. But, buddy, it is 70-something degrees here in St. Louis. We got pitchers and catchers down in Florida. We got the position players showing up. It's warm here in St. Louis. We've got baseball fever here like no other. I was driving today, tons of kids out playing baseball on the fields here in town. I'm telling you, this town is ready. Sunday night baseball, Chicago Cubs, St. Louis Cardinals. I tell you, if we can just pick up a few games, I think the Cubs come back a few games, and I think it gets real interesting.
Heck yeah, man. I'm so excited for the season starting. Like you said, right now it's baseball weather. I'm here in Puerto Rico. It's 85 every day, you know, so it's very nice, very humid, but it's our baseball feeling, you know, our baseball sun. So I'm excited, man. I can wait. I can wait to see what these guys can do. And I wanted to say something, Jimbo, for the fans, you know, so they can understand. This is not a Yadi team. This is not a Wainwright team. This is not a Matheny team or Mosalik, whatever you want to call it. This is going to have to be a team effort. And what I mean, Richard has to step up. Wong has to step up and do something. Fowler, he just signed a big deal. He has to step up and do something. Rosenthal, if he stays close, he needs to close some games. The third baseman, the first baseman, anybody, the relievers, everybody, this is going to be a team effort. And if they do that and they play as one, like I always know them, I know they can do it, they'll be fine. But if you divide them and you are waiting for Wainwright to win 20, and then all of a sudden you're waiting for Yadi to hit 25, home runs, this is not a one-guy deal. The fans need to understand it. I know the fans in St. Louis are very smart. They're very, very smart. They know that it's gonna take the whole group to win the championship, and that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, it seems like in the past, whenever we've had some real successes, it's been a team effort, and you hear legendary stories about, you know, you hear the time when Jim Edmonds stood up in the clubhouse and gave a game ball to Rafael Belliard, and they go on this run. And then in 2011, you mentioned it, you know, they rally around Wainwright and all that. You know, you hear the stories that in the Cincinnati clubhouse, I think it was Jay Bruce went running through the clubhouse, or Joey Votto, one of those guys. Wainwright's hurt, and that kind of rallied the Cardinals. And so you hear all these things that this team needs something to rally around. Well, you know what? Let's look at this year. Last year, the Cubs seemed to, you know, kind of spank us a little bit, and sometimes that hurts. We lose Reyes. People are counting us out. All of a sudden, we're not the favorite anymore. I think that's enough. I do. I believe that's enough to gel a team together.
Heck yeah, it is. Man, you don't need motivation to go out and try to win a championship. You just get motivation through the year. You know, something happening between the year that gets you motivated extra. But to start the season, everybody's excited, man. Everybody has the motivation level up. Let's go do this. Let's go do it together. And let me tell you this. You can be beat up all the games by the Cubs, and you can still win the championship.
That's true.
You don't play 162 games. You cannot. You never play 162 games with a team. So you only play like 18, I think, if I'm right. But you can also lose your games, but you can also win all the games against Milwaukee or all the games against the other team and even set out, you know. So you can still win it. I'm not saying we're going to lose. I'm just saying that's an example. So even if we lose a couple of series here and there with teams that we should have won or whatever you want to put it, we still got a chance. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it's a team thing. If we get that team effort out of this club, I like our chances. And again, if you know your buddy and mine, Fish, that sits in here, always says the best part about spring training, the best start about right before the season starts, is that we're all tied for first. And again, I don't feel like, you know, I understand that the Cubs now have kind of got, you know, a whole year, basically, and a half under their belt of kind of getting the best of us a little bit. But the reality of it is I'll play them all day long and twice on Sunday if they want to play.
Heck yeah. I want people to know this. You don't have to beat the Cubs. You don't have to beat the Brewers. You don't have to beat the Yankees. You have to make it to the playoff. You hear what I'm saying?
Sure.
You see the difference? You don't worry about winning against this guy. That's going to happen if you get it to the playoff. That means you did it. You know what I mean? So let's worry about each game, each day, and we'll take care of itself later when we get to the playoff. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, this St. Louis Cardinals club that most people my age, especially and younger, are familiar with, and even older, you don't have to look any further than the 04, 06 Cardinals. I say it all the time. I think the 04 was one of the best teams I've ever seen. And the 06 team, I don't know how the heck they did that. I mean, that was pure guts. And so sometimes the best team doesn't always win. And sometimes, like you said, you just got to get in and give yourselves a chance. So I like it. I think we're moving in the right direction. I'm happy for you to be down there in Puerto Rico with your family. I noticed on Facebook, you tweeted out, you know, coming to you from your mom's living room back home. That's got to be a great feeling for you to be down there with your family back in your home. That's got to be awesome.
It's great. It's great. The way I grew up, the way we grew up here in Puerto Rico, and I'm not talking about religion or anything like that to anybody. Everybody, I respect everybody's religions, but the way we grew up here was God first, family second, and then the rest of your life, which in our case was respect. In our case was family again. In our case was baseball. Whatever you want to put, but first you put God, and then you put a family. And other than that, everything will run into place. That's the way we live here.
Well, I'm happy for you. I know what it means to you to be around family, and it's got to be just a proud moment for you guys with everything you have going on down there. So, you know, all the best from us here, obviously, at Two Birds on a Bat. And I guess we'll see where we're at next week. You never know what spring training will bring. We never know what the topics will be, but one thing's for sure, we're all looking forward to it. Benji, it's been great having you.
Thank you, Atlanta. You never know who the next superstar is going to be. Just keep your eyes open.
That's for sure. Well, hey, tell Yachty we said hello and congratulations, and say hi to your family for all of us, and we will see you next week, my friend.
You got it, man. You got it. Happy to be here. You know that, Jimbo.
All right.
We'll see you guys later.
All righty. Again, that's our good friend Benji Molina, brought to you by the M4 by Yachty.com. You know, the interview, talking to Benji as he, you know, comes to us from Puerto Rico, you know, he gets to go down there, see his mom, back where he's from. You know, we've talked a lot about these guys when they travel back home, how important it is for them. They know where they came from, especially guys that don't come from very much and they come here and they live the dream. You can tell the pride the Molinas have in their hometown, what they're trying to do with their community. You know, it makes me, you know, really feel good about, you know, what we're trying to do here on the show and using Benji in that capacity. Because like I said, he's admittedly the biggest Cardinal fan you're ever going to find. So we do appreciate Benji and the time he takes to be on the show. Now let's get to what I like to view when it's just you and I, or it's just you and I and Fish, or we have another fan in the room. Just the real fan portion of this thing. You know, we've beat the dead horse now. Okay, if you're the Cardinals, you know, Alex Reyes, he's out. That's it. There is no other way to look at this thing. It could happen to any pitcher at any time. Cardinal fans
want it. Happens to almost all the pitchers.
Well, sure. The problem is that when it happens to you,
right.
Okay, it's like anything in life. You want to blame somebody. You want to make excuses. You want to know why. We want why, right? We want somebody. Like, you know, anytime there's been 100 press conferences since we found out he's hurt, right? And every time we're waiting for somebody to stand in front of the camera and say, this is what happened. This is why he's hurt. This is who to blame. Call him up. Send him an email. This is the society we live in, right? We want to blame her. Hey, no, wait a minute. I don't accept that Alex Reyes is hurt. so he's not hurt. Sorry, folks, it's reality. He's hurt, right? So the truth of the matter is, you brought it up. It's not something that happens overnight. Okay, it's wear and tear on the arm. It happens eventually. You know, is it going to happen to every pitcher? I guess statistics would show not every pitcher. But what we do know is if you follow this thing at all, and you're not just a what's going on in the field, if you follow baseball at all, if you at all were involved, arm injuries are typical because it's not a natural act.
Yeah, but, you know, to go along with that, I think what you got to look at is, first and foremost, on the Reyes situation, I wanted to come in and do a show immediately because I sit here and listen to all the talk radio all day long, and that's all they're talking about. I knew that's what we were going to be talking about the following day. But I think his injury went back to, like, 2013. He had been dealing with it.
Well, they brought it up,
and,
sure.
And, you know, had something slight wrong with his arm. And eventually it looks like it's getting everybody. And I'm assuming that if this was 30 years ago, all of a sudden they would ice him, give him an injection, let him sit out, you know, a couple, 8 weeks and get out there. And guess what? Now he's not throwing 101. He's throwing 94, 92, whatever
maybe.
It is. And maybe he's in or out of baseball. But with modern medicine and how good they have gotten with this Tommy John surgery and the recovery of it, it seems to be that, hey, you got 20 years on that arm. Let's go ahead and fix it, and you'll get another strong 10, 12 out of it and be done.
Well, you went where I was going to go, and that is, I don't even know that they – I'm not saying they don't pay attention to it and don't use it as how they view people when it comes to pitching. But the reality of it is there's only a handful of guys in the whole world that throw a baseball 100 miles an hour. So I don't know if that would change your opinion on him. But I look at it anymore like – I'm not saying Mo wasn't like, oh, God, or Matheny wasn't like devastated or whatever. I mean, I just think you are naturally. But the truth of the matter is I think it's just business as usual.
No, absolutely.
That's where I was going with it. It's almost like it's going to happen, but when's it going to happen? I mean, you can look back. You don't have to go any further than the great Nolan Ryan and hear his unbelievable story about, you know, them telling him you need this surgery and him saying, no, I don't. I'm going to go ahead and do something a little different here. And everybody probably wants to know, well, why did it work for Nolan Ryan? Well, I don't know. There's all kinds of stories.
I think he had a leave, right? Was that what he was? Was he Advil or a leave?
I think it doesn't matter.
It's one of those two.
One of those two has made a lot of money.
I've tried it a lot with my man ball, and it doesn't work.
Well, the truth of the matter is with everybody and everything in life, there's always outlying great stories. That's what makes them great, right? That's why. But in this instance, it happened, and so we're here. You brought up the fact that I knew we'd be talking. I'm not going to talk about it all day. He's hurt. That's it.
Yeah, but I don't know if you talk about the Reyes other than the fact that I'm not so sure that this doesn't, you know, define roles a little bit more clearly in the Cardinal organization. I mean, I sat in, you know, last hour when you guys were doing your other show and you were talking about the Blues, and all of a sudden roles now have become defined and they're on that hot streak. Does this injury all of a sudden take that aura out there, that competition to get him in there, that young phenom, when realistically, he might have been destined for either a bullpen setup role or B, back in AAA pitching. So this kind of takes him out of the mix, and maybe it allows a Waka and a Lynn and some of the other people that are in that mix to relax and say, now I got to go be the next man up.
Well, Mo had said, I don't know why everybody's counting on Reyes being in the bullpen. He even brought it up in one of his press conferences after he got hurt. He said, listen, I think I had mentioned, you know, there was no guarantees he was going to be in the starting rotation. They may have eased him into the rotation to take the innings off. So I don't know that it's, for me, I guess you're talking about the defined roles. For me, what it does now is it opens a door for a couple things. You're hearing a lot of the Rosenthal getting an opportunity to start, which is something he's always wanted to do. I know there were some different things talked about with him. He was going to prepare as a starter, maybe be that new hybrid reliever that we hear so much about now that Andrew Miller's made famous. You know, come in and throw two or three innings, old Bruce Sutter style, right? If you got a real good pitcher, bring him in for two or three innings and shut it down if you can do so. So that makes that a little more interesting now. Where does he fit in? Michael Waka becomes that much more important to you this year as far as where he goes. A lot of onus now on can Lance Lynn come back and carry a full workload, because you know, you all of a sudden went from what do you get from him to, boy, he better be able to do it. Can Wainwright bounce back? The questions are still there, and ultimately those questions being answered will get us where we need to go, right? Like, how are we going to do? I still maintain that I think the pitching staff will be better than it was. I'm not sure. Not that I wasn't ready to release Wainwright, but I think he's got to be better. Mike Leake's got to be better. On the flip side, how much better can Carlos Martinez be? He was awful good. Okay, so you got to be realistic, right? If you're going to be realistic going one way, you got to be realistic going the other. Lance Lynn gives you something he didn't give you at all last year, and that's the ability to pitch. What to expect from Michael Wacha is anybody's guess. And will some of the young guys step up? I liked what I saw from Luke Weaver last year. Here's a guy that I think when he keeps the ball down is a really good young-looking pitcher. I think just like every young pitcher, he realized real quick when he pitched up in the zone, he got knocked around a little bit. Pretty simple. That recipe goes a long way. The bullpen, Kevin Segrist, we see that he's got a little shoulder soreness. He comes out and says, look, it's already going away. It's nothing more than what it is. I know people are making a big deal out of it because of the Reyes injury, but I'm fine. That remains to be seen, but we will see. I don't know. I don't know that I agree with you on the defined roles because I just think there's just still too many question marks. I don't mean bad question marks. I just think typical question marks from a staff that as a whole last year did not get it done.
No, you're exactly right. I probably use the wrong term, defined role, as more as a more clarified opportunity as opposed to a defined role. You're exactly right. So, I mean, but, you know, you got one guy out of the mix now for the entire season and probably part of next season. So it allows these guys to sit in there and say, okay, no, I wanted this opportunity to go out there and show what I can do in spring training and compete and battle, whether it's Wacha or, any of the other numbers, Lynn coming back, Rosenthal, if he wanted to get into the mix of extending, you know, his outings. So there's those opportunities that I think will come and be a little bit more clarified now that Reyes isn't hovering over, oh, is he going to be the number one? You know, all of a sudden you're looking at, well, you know, you got to have Martinez in there. You got to have Reyes in there. And then now you got to have Leake in there. Is Lynn going to be healthy? Is Wacha going to be healthy? Is Wainwright going to return to any sort of form? Now all of a sudden you got Reyes out there. I think it becomes a little bit more clear what these guys have to do.
Right. I'm excited about this season. I'm always excited to see who wins a battle or who does what, who steps up. And then again, I always say, you know, what goes up must come down. I'm always curious to see if certain guys can repeat certain performances or how they're going to do. I look around at the Cardinals and I see nothing but an opportunity for them to get better. Jed Jerko was a surprise power source for me last year. I'm curious to see how they keep his bat in the lineup because I think you have to. As Benji brought up numerous times on the show, Johnny Peralta wants to play. It's not gonna be a slam dunk for him to want to sit the bench. All of Cardinal Nation would love to see Diaz play 162 games, I'm sure. But I've said it once and I'll say it again. I think with the addition of Dexter Fowler, obviously, kind of to your point, defining roles. I mean, if a guy's ever appeared to come in and define a role, lead off, center field, it only fits, right? But for me, the two that I've said all along, and I've been critical of them at times, very simple, Colton Wong and Randall Grichuk. If Colton Wong and Randall Grichuk can play like Colton Wong and Randall Grichuk can and should, I like our chances. I really do. I just, you know, I'm not putting undue pressure on them because I think there's pressure in everybody to perform. I want them to do what I think they're both capable of doing. Now, what does that look like? I can tell you what I think it looks like. I can be very realistic about Randall Grichuk. I would be ecstatic if Randall Grichuk hit 265.
Yep.
Because I think he can hit close to 30 home runs. So if Randall Grichuk hits 265 and hits me somewhere between 25 and 30 home runs, I will be happy with that, and I think that will be a benefit to the Cardinals. Colton Wong, on the other hand, I don't need more than 10 home runs out of him. If I could get somewhere between 7 and 10, okay, I'll take a batting average a little closer to that 280, 285 mark. I'd like to see his on-base percentage
right.
be a little higher. I'd also like to see him run the bases a little bit better. I think there's a guy that has the potential to steal bases. We talk about running to run, but I don't want to just get on there and run. The bottom line is you've been a successful base stealer in your past. Why are we not being more successful when we are? So, you know, and who knows what that reasoning is, confidence, maybe little leg issue that we run aware of. I'm not running just to run. I want to run to steal bases. I mean, Stephen Piscotty stole some bases, and he's not the fastest cat in the world. So there's something to how we go about doing this.
Situationally, steal the bases too.
Sure,
you know,
for
I mean,
sure.
You know, you're
right,
up 6-3, and
yeah. No. I'm with you on it.
It's a different story. You're right.
But no, those are the things for me that I'm looking to see how they pan out. I'm looking to see where they go, and I don't think I need to look any further than, like I said, those types of things. Matt Carpenter, you would assume, is going to give you a good option. Yadier Molina, you would choose, is going to give you a good option. Stephen Piscotty, maybe we overlook him. Maybe we just assume that we should expect 280, 20 home runs, 80 RBIs, because he gives off that vibe of that veteran vibe. He's really not, though.
Right.
Okay. So you do have to look at that. But he just seems to me, and I don't know, maybe there's no backing to this whatsoever, but it's just a personal thing. He gives that vibe of, I feel like I can expect that from him. And if I get that from him, I will be happy. So I don't know. Dexter Fowler, a lot of questions, but I think they're good questions. I don't have any grand illusions of Dexter Fowler hitting 330 and stealing 100 bases. I want Dexter Fowler to come in here and hit 270 with a high, you know, I like that high on base percentage at 380, almost 400 on base percentage. If he hits 270 something with all those walks and gets on in front of all those doubles that Carpenter likes to hit, I like it.
So you bring up some interesting points when you're talking back and forth, you're going through everybody and what you'd like to see. So I'm gonna take it from more of a macro view and look down and say, in a couple questions leading up to my point here, on paper, realistically, I think we can both agree that they have a shot, the Cardinals have a shot of making it into the playoffs in a wild card, right?
Well, I think so.
Okay, I think so too. I don't think we're under any illusion that they are going to surplant the Cubs in a first place in the Central.
Well, again,
all things on paper today, looking
sure.
at it, right?
Okay, yeah, I'll agree.
Okay. So, in essence, get me to the dance and let me take my chances, right? Now, anything can happen in the playoffs. You catch a hot team, whatever it might be, and you can make a run deep into the playoffs, into the World Series, maybe even win a World Championship. But I think that we can both look at all the teams in Major League Baseball and probably say that the odds are not in the Cardinals' favor this year of winning a World Championship, but they're going to be competitive. Now, just think of, you know, we won it in 11. We went in 13, right? Now we're sitting here in 2017, and we've basically revamped almost our entire club, right? Retooled, and there's a couple of guys. So we've gotten a lot younger, and we haven't really gone through the quote-unquote rebuilding phase, right? Where you just scrap, you're a seller, you're trying to pick up draft picks, and, you know, where it becomes a 5-6 year process. We've retooled fairly quickly. So then you get into the potential of these guys, and yes, if Grichik does this or Wong does this and you can make a move here or there and this guy gets back to form, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of I'm really not looking at 2017 where we're winning a world championship. I want to continue to get better to where it's 2018, 2019, where if we can still get, you know, 85, 88, 90 wins, get into the playoffs, anything can happen. But I still like to be in that favorite position where the Cubs are and say, you know what, it's ours to lose. And I think Mo's done a real good job, and there might be a couple pieces missing. But if these guys do what they can do, you know, I think the rebuild has been very quickly for us.
Well, you know, I've always looked at the Cardinals and how they go about their business, and I've been critical at times. I mean, I've wanted them to overspend. I've wanted them to do some things because I've always been that guy that sits there and says, man, we're just a player away from being dominant. That's how I felt at times over the years with the Cardinals. There's been no secret. I wanted them to pay Pujols whatever it took to keep him. I want them to do the same with Yachty. I think those are outlying things, not to mention they're just good players. Sorry. I saw the dumbest article I've ever read in my life yesterday, and I answered to it. Some guy on there wrote an article that was basically saying the demise of Albert Pujols, how ugly it is. And I wanted to remind the guy, and I did. Do you do realize he was fourth in the league last year in RBIs? Fourth in the whole league. Not in the American League, in the whole league. He did hit 30 home runs. And the year before that, he hit 40. You do realize that we don't have a lot of home run hitters. You do realize that we could go a long way with 119 RBIs.
Right. That's okay? A guy looking at one stat. He's looking at batting average.
Here's
stat.
The problem. Here's what it really comes down to. And what's interesting was if you read the article, and I did, and I was upset because I don't know what he was trying to do. In the article, he kind of claims to have been a Pujols fan. So I don't know if he was sad or whatever. But what I didn't understand was, and maybe this is the underlying part of his article, was that, no, Albert Pujols is not a 330 hitter, 30-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs every year anymore. Well, no, he's older. I mean, and who cares what his contract is? It's irrelevant right now. He's the age he is. He's been playing for a long time. And like most players, when you age, your underlying numbers will tend to decrease. Okay? My point was is that the Cardinals could use that production at first base. I'm sorry, they could. If you told me right now that you were going to be able to pencil a guy in at first base and he was going to drive in over 100 runs and hit 30 home runs and hit 250, again, we're assuming his name's Albert Pujols. But I'm going to tell you this. If you tell me right now, Jim, Matt Carpenter's going to hit 250, he's going to hit 30 home runs and drive in 119 runs, I would take it right now. I wouldn't sit here and say, he's only going to hit 250. See, that's what I don't understand. That's where I lose it in everybody. But okay, now, if you want to make it the fact that he's making $25 million, okay, I guess you can. But these other guys are making 18, 19. What's Jason Worth make? What's Jason Hayward make?
No,
okay, so don't listen. There's a handful of guys, some of them notably are younger, that might have a higher batting average and are hitting 30 home runs. And I don't know what the point is anymore with these articles. I don't, because I'm telling you, I will ask any Cardinal fan right now, I'm not going to give you a name. Whoever plays first base for the Cardinals this year is going to hit 30 home runs, drive in 119 runs, and hit 250. Would you take it? If you won't take it today, but during spring training, you need to have your head examined. Sorry.
Let me tell you, everybody's stuck on this, the batting average thing. God, I can't tell you how hard it must be to hit in the major leagues today. There's not that many breaks. You don't get the guy who's tired in the fifth inning where you can chew him up. You know, you don't get those. They all have great pitching staffs and guys that throw mid to high 90s. Every inning, every at-bat, that have great curveballs, nasty sliders, a changeup that'll have you out of your shoes. So it is hard to hit over 300 in this league. And I think and I don't know what the numbers say. I mean, we're a fan show. I would venture to say that batting averages probably dropped over the last 20 years.
No, there was an interesting article that says 280 is the new 300.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, I want to say last year I looked it up, and I want to say there were only 20-something guys in all of it. Maybe it had been 29 guys hit over 300 in baseball last year. Now you had some guys hit 299, 280.
What was that? What was that quote from Costner in Bull Durham where he said it's
25
hit.
Hits.
It's one extra hit.
A week, I think.
A week.
A bleeder, a seeing eye, a duck snort.
Whatever it is. Texas leaguer, right?
Yeah. With eyes. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And most people really aren't really that productive most of the time.
Well, again, I'm only going to say this because there is no other way to say it, and that is production goes a long way. If you like fantasy baseball, you like on base percentage, and you like all that stuff, I get it. But the reality of it is, okay, production is king. Look at our Redbirds last year. We hit all those home runs, and our leading RBI guy, I think, had 80, and the guy that led our team in home runs had like 50-something RBIs, I believe. So the ability to drive in runs when they're on, the ability to hit you know, 2 and 3 run homers versus those things all go a long way. You have to have the opportunity to hit and drive in 119 runs, and it is what it is.
And I know we're up against the clock here, and I'm glad you brought up a little fantasy baseball because some of you know out there that Jim and I are in a league against each other. So it's been quite the week, you know, as everybody's starting to report. You start reading your depth charts and everything across all players and making trades, and that's where, you know, we're stat whores, basically, is what we're looking for. We're looking for that guy who's gonna have the higher on base percentage or the strikeouts, and we could care less about wins or losses. So it's hard to separate the two when you're cheering for your team, but you're also cheering for guys that might be batting against Waka or Wainwright and wanting guys to get stolen bases. So that's a lot of fun, the fantasy part of it. And I know a lot of people out there probably listening do a lot of that same stuff fantasy baseball-wise. And
well, fantasy baseball is fun, no doubt about it. It's also frustrating. It makes it hard to – I traded the only Cardinal I had on my team because it didn't even make watching games fun for me. So I try not to have any Cardinal players. But the truth of the matter is, for me, I enjoy it. I like the one that we have because I feel like I actually own a team, because you have to think about salary. You have to think about salary cap. You have to think about your minor leagues. You got to take all this into account. And it's with your friends, a lot of jaw-jacking and fun. The good and bad part of this thing is this isn't some $100 league. I mean, there's a lot of money at stake, which you can attest. You won a bunch last year. So while you're paying your dues every year, it hurts a little bit. But, man, when you win and get a big influx of cash like that, it's nice. So it is fun. I encourage everybody to make sure if you have it, check it out. I mean, if you've got some friends and you like to do it, it does keep it interesting for sure. It also educates you about all of baseball, not just your home team. So.
Yeah, and you start looking at, you know, all sorts of stats when it comes to, you know, the on-base percentage and cheering for a guy getting a walk or that stolen base. And it's a lot of fun. So it keeps you definitely in tune to watching the Monday or the morning highlights the following day to find out if any of your guys did any good.
Well, again, I'm just ready for I'm ready for baseball season.
Well, we got the warm weather here, right?
Yeah, we're hitting that warm weather right now.
Early.
Hopefully, we don't. A lot of times when this happens, and you know, you get that Midwest February weather where it snows a day after it's 70. But hopefully, we stay away from that. I want to remind everybody, I hope you enjoy the show. We do appreciate everything that everybody's doing to share the show, our new relationships, both with Cardinal Nation, Facebook group. Of course, the Rally Squirrel Report was a big hit, the very first one we did Monday. We can't tell you how much we appreciate those guys. We want to encourage you to go to Facebook and just search them both. Cardinals Nation is a group page where everybody can get involved in the fun. The Rally Squirrel is a actual page that that Nate and the guys have, and they tend to share all the interesting stories, and it's also where you can find this one as well. And you can look forward to hearing those every week. And once we get rolling with the season, we look to have some more guests on, things like that. It's just important that everybody in Cardinal Nation feels like they have a voice, because at the end of the day, I think that's all we do as fans is we enjoy talking about it, right? It's fun. And we do appreciate it. Your sharing of the show is how the show has grown to where it is now. I'm not quite sure how this happened, but we do appreciate it greatly. And as I speak, you know, I speak for myself and everybody here at lineupmedia.fm when we tell you how much we do appreciate it. I want to say thank you again to Steve-O and the guys at Supreme Lending, such a big part of the show. I encourage you to take advantage of his offer to raffle off 2 tickets for opening day. That number again, Steve-O?
618-655-0483.
I do appreciate my man Fish and his trying to get here every week. It's really hard on him right now. I'm thinking of all those guys that are out of work at Granite City Steel. I want them to all have their jobs back. I hope the economy gets to where it needs to be. I know Fish, it kills him when he's not here. You know, he loves to talk Cardinal baseball, and until those guys all get back to work, he's not going to be able to trade out of these day slots on Thursday. So hopefully that gets straightened out. And again, producer Andrew, appreciate everything you do. It's awesome to have you in here and always looking for stuff for us to talk about from Cardinal Nation. For Two Birds on a Bat, I am your host, Jim Cromer, and we will see you next week.
Go Birds!
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci. Excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.